We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. We hear the phrase trauma-informed care a lot these days. People who have endured childhood abuse or battlefield conditions often suffer from PTSD and find it difficult to set the trauma aside. Care that takes that past trauma into account helps patients feel more comfortable and in control. Treating the PTSD itself is also evolving. Joshua Delahan is a licensed clinical social worker and a psychotherapist in Milwaukee. He uses a number of what's called body-based modalities to help people resolve trauma, especially something called brain spotting. Delahan joins us in the studio now to tell us more, starting with a clinical definition of trauma.
There's actually only one thing that creates trauma. And most people don't know that. Actually, a lot of therapists don't understand that, which is interesting. Most of my students had never heard this concept before. But the research comes out of actually working with animals that, unfortunately, there's lots of research done with animals and putting them in different stressful situations. And the research comes out of the fact that when an animal gets really stressed out and they're immobilized at the same time, they tend to have a response coming out of that immobilized state that is an excessive release of energy. And so
we might say panicked.
Yeah, panicked, yeah. Exactly. So when we see humans and they go through a stressful situation and they're immobilized at the same time, whether it's they go into a freeze state or whether they actually are physically held down and immobilized, when they have that fear plus immobilization, within gets created this memory, this body memory, this self state that has all the hormones that are going on during that time, the stress hormones, the adrenaline, all of those things, the beliefs that we have about ourselves that we're helpless, all of those things get kind of locked into that body memory. And some people call it a trauma capsule or a dissociation capsule. Some people call it a self state. But that's what trauma is. It's immobilization plus fear. And that's all that creates trauma. And that can be when you're in wartime as a soldier. It can be being at home when the dog is biting you. It can be lots of different things that create that immobilization plus fear. But that's all that creates trauma.
And so when that happens, whatever the situation is that's creating that, carrying it on, I assume, is the issue. That when we don't let that go, we're unable to release that energy.
Yes. So it's a physiological response that has psychological consequences. So what happens is all of those physiological responses, whenever we're triggered, whenever there's something in our environment that triggers that body memory, that self state, that trauma capsule, all of that comes back to us. And so that's what we call PTSD, the flashbacks, the night terrors. All of those things are just the body and lower brain sending those signals and you having the experience up in your top level of your brain of kind of being out of control. And so that's what we call PTSD. And so it starts in the body and lower brain, and then those signals get sent up to the upper brain, and then we have to try to make meaning of that. And so that's the only time that our thinking brain actually becomes involved, is when those signals are sent up from the lower parts of our body and brain.
Interesting. So when we're in a PTSD situation, having a flashback or something like that, this is not a conscious thing until we're recognizing we're in the middle of it.
Exactly. Because we're getting all these signals. Our heart is racing. We're having these images, these smells, all of those things that come back when you're in that self state. And then now our thinking brain has to make some kind of sense of that. And we get very freaked out by that. And then it becomes a kind of a loop. So we get freaked out by that. What's going on? And now we're in panic. And it's sending the signal back down to the lower part of our brain that's recognizing threat and fear. And it's sending it back up. And so it's kind of a loop that happens until we can calm ourselves down and get out of that state.
Have the kinds of therapies used to help people deal with this changed over time?
Absolutely. So in the beginning, a couple hundred years ago, people were just assuming that there was some defect, something wrong with the person, and they weren't really getting any treatment except for putting them in a house, separating them away from people. Then there started to be, with Freud doing just kind of talk therapy, they used hypnosis to help. Hypnosis actually can access the lower part of the brain, and so that was actually helpful for some people. And then they started to do medications, kind of like in the mid-20th century. And then they started to use cognitive and behavioral types of therapies. Body-based therapies started to come into the scene maybe about 30 or 40 years ago. Peter Levine was probably one of the first people that used body-based therapies, and then other people have developed them past that. He's still around, and he's still doing great work with somatic experiencing, and that's one of the types of therapies that I definitely recommend that people use. So it's been lots of different ways that people have tried to treat it. Originally, there was a lot of stigma tied to it, and there still is to some extent. So once we realized that everybody can go through a situation where they're immobilized and have fear, and then they have consequences from that, if we just realize that's kind of a natural state that we go into, then maybe we can start realizing, oh, then maybe there's something that we can do to try to just get out of that and kind of deprogram our mind and body from doing that anymore.
I don't want to simplify this too much, but it almost sounds like we need to recognize it as something as primitive as you're hungry and you need to eat.
That's really what it is. As soon as you can recognize those inner sensations and be able to sit with those and be able to experience those in the presence of somebody that's a helpful, supportive person to you, and it doesn't always have to be, but it's really helpful to have that person because the nature of trauma is that we're alone in that. That we're experiencing it internally by ourselves and nobody is helping us with that. That's where the immobilization comes from. And so when we're in the presence of an attuned person, our brain is able to open up and release that self state, release those sensations, and release that energy that's stuck when we're in trauma.
You're a specialist in body-based therapies,
yeah,
and helping people with trauma. And it sounds like from the timeline that you just gave us that we went from basically neglect, mm-hmm, to brain-based therapies or,
yeah,
mind-based therapies.
Yeah.
But you're saying the issue is actually a body-based issue and we're only recently using the body as a way to heal the issue.
Exactly. So it's really easy to think that trauma is a psychological problem because people who have trauma have lots of psychological issues. If you look at the DSM-5, the treatment manual that says all the different disorders, you could probably link a majority of those diagnoses to trauma. Not that trauma causes all of them, but there's a huge link between trauma and many of those diagnoses. Anxiety for sure, depression, all of these things can have a base of trauma. And so when we start to look at trauma as a biological issue and a lower brain issue and not a psychological, not that you can talk your way out of it or think your way out of it, then we start getting to what actually was happening in the moment of trauma, which was my body and lower brain were overwhelmed. We're in this state of panic and freeze. And when we can go back to that, then we can actually resolve it instead of just trying to talk our way out of it and saying, I'm strong enough. I don't have to think this way. I don't have to feel this way. Your brain isn't actually set up to do that. Your upper part of your brain, your neocortex, actually has a barrier to your lower brain. It doesn't have an influence as much as we might think on our lower brain and a body.
It sounds like we're asking our will to take over where it really can't.
Will is very strong, and will gets us to the office, right? Will gets us to the therapy office or gets us to reading that book that might help us kind of work through our issues. But will cannot on its own resolve the trauma. Resolving the trauma means you uncouple the fear from the immobilization. That's literally all you have to do to resolve the trauma. And that's, you know, per single trauma. If you have somebody who has developmental trauma when they were a baby and they were abused or neglected, that gets very complicated because now you're talking about influencing brain structure and influencing relational issues because usually they're neglected by somebody who's supposed to be taking care of them. And so that gets more complicated. We call that complex trauma. And there's even more complications that happen from that, dissociation, multiple personalities, which are called dissociative identity disorder. These things come from those original traumas. And so the younger it is, the more complex it usually is. And the more times it happened, the more complex it is. But if we're talking a single event trauma where I was in a car accident and now when I get into the car, I have a panic attack, you can use one of these body-based therapies to go to that moment, open up that file, release that self-state, all that energy, uncouple the fear from the immobilization, get back into your car right after the session and drive away, and you're fine.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these body-based therapies.
Yeah.
What are some of the tools that you use?
So I was first trained in somatic experiencing. Peter Levine is the originator of somatic experiencing. He's been doing it for about 40 years or so. And I basically just read several of his books and I had a supervisor at my first job that was also trained in it. And so he could supervise me to use these skills. Somatic experiencing basically is where you have the person bring up the issue, whatever the issue is, or actually just come into the office and notice what's going on inside their body. Sometimes we don't even have to bring up the issue. It's just, it's always there. And so the issue gets brought up. We have them notice what physical sensations do you have in your body right now? Do you have energy in your legs? Is your heart racing? You know, what's going on?
Sweating.
Yeah. All these different symptoms that we have when we're triggered. And then we just have them in the attuned presence of the therapist, notice those things as they come up. And just be with them and allow them, because we're used to pushing them down, dissociating those things. But we have this situation with a therapist where we can actually just allow that to happen.
We're safe.
Yeah. And the major point of somatic experiencing is the resource. So whenever we're traumatized in our body, there's a place in our body that's not activated with all this other adrenaline, all these things, there's a place in our body that's actually safe and calm and neutral. And so with the somatic experiencing, what they do is they have you notice the sensations that are uncomfortable, and then they have you go back to a place in your body where you feel comfortable. And then you just titrate back and forth between those two. And as you do that, you kind of pendulate, the activation part goes down. So we have this term called SUDS, which is subjective units of disturbances scale. And that's like a 0 to 10 scale. How much do you feel that, you know, heart pounding in your chest, 0 to 10? And it might start out at a 10 or a 5 or whatever it is. But as you go back and forth between the resource and that activation, that number will go down and eventually it will be gone. And so you won't feel the tension in your shoulders anymore. You won't feel that heart racing, and that will be gone. You've uncoupled the fear from the immobilization, and then that trauma, that specific trauma, is resolved.
One of the things that you also work with is a technique called brain spotting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I confess I had never heard of. I've heard of somatic imaging but I've never heard of brain spotting. So how does that differ from what you just described?
Yeah. So after I did somatic experiencing, my supervisor also was trained in what's called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So when I was in graduate school at UWM, they had a video that they showed of EMDR, just a session of EMDR. And after that video, I decided I was definitely going to get trained in it because it seemed like something that was very effective for the person that was in the video. So I got trained in that as well. I'm getting to brain spotting through EMDR. So EMDR was created by Francine Shapiro in 1989. And what it is it's taking the same concept of somatic experiencing, of noticing those physical sensations in your body. But she found out that if you move your eyes back and forth in a pendulating way, that if you notice the feeling in your body and you have your eyes kind of going back and forth, kind of bilaterally stimulating your brain, that SUDS goes down as well. And she had no idea originally why that happened. She was just interested in it. She was a psychologist and working with clients, vets. And so she started using it with some of her clients and saying, just watch my finger go back and forth and notice, you know, the sensations in your body. And so she noticed that they were getting a lot of healing. And so she created a protocol around that where you talk about the negative beliefs that you have about the trauma, like it was my fault or things like that. And then you come up with a positive belief that you want to have about yourself, like I lived through it, I'm strong enough to survive, something like that. And then you bring up the issue, you notice the sensations in your body, and then you do the eye movements back and forth until that goes down to a 0 SUDS. And then you can talk about, okay, how much do you believe that negative belief anymore? Well, I don't believe it at all. Well, how much do you believe the positive belief? Well, it's 1 to 7. I don't know why it's a 1 to 7 scale. 1 to 7, I believe it like a 5. All right, let's see if we can get it up to a 7. What's blocking that from a 7? Then you continue to do the eye movements until that goes up to a 7. So they've uncoupled the immobilization from the fear, and now you're working on this belief of that I'm okay.
Sort
that
of replacing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you strengthen that. And at the end of that, that trauma is resolved completely.
So when you say the trauma is resolved, mm-hmm. does it ever come up again? Or does it tend to truly be resolved? Like it just, you're not panicked around that anymore.
Yeah. So my experience with my clients are, there might be a little tiny piece that they didn't get to during the session. Sometimes your brain continues to process after you leave the session. It continues to go, and then eventually you'll get to all of it. But sometimes there's like a little stuck piece that they have to come back and do. But for, like I said, a single event trauma, a car accident, being mugged or something like that, you mostly will be able to resolve that within one or two sessions. You'll get to all of that self-state that you need to resolve it. And then you don't have any nightmares. You don't have any flashbacks. You don't have any of those symptoms of PTSD anymore because the self-state doesn't exist. You released it and it's gone. So from EMDR actually comes brain spotting. So David Grand was an EMDR therapist. He wrote books about EMDR. He was a consultant. He was very kind of high up in the EMDR world. And he was doing EMDR with one of his clients. And as he was doing the eye movements, he noticed that at one spot, the person's eyes kind of froze and like wobbled, and then it would continue. And in EMDR, they have this thing where you're moving your fingers across. And then if they do that, you're supposed to like tap your fingers a little bit so that they like to snap them out of it basically and then keep on going, right? But he thought, well, I wonder if there's something like about looking at that spot that's different. And so he just held his finger there where they were wobbling and freezing. And then all of a sudden, this information started coming out, things that they had already processed with EMDR, processed to a deeper level. And the thing that they were processing in that moment processed all the way down to the bottom of a zero. And so he's like, whoa, that's really interesting. And so then he started trying that. When he would find those little wobbles, he was still doing EMDR, but he would find the wobbles, he would freeze and stop on that spot, and they would process way more. And so he realized that there must be something about looking at a specific spot in your field of vision that helps your brain process more. And so he wondered about that. And so he started looking up different articles, working with neuroscientists, people who study the brain and why that might be. And what they came up with, Frank Corrigan, who is a neuroscientist in Scotland, came up with the hypothesis that when we are in a traumatic state, when we're in a stressed out state, we're orienting towards safety. We're trying to look for a place to go to get out of that situation because, you know, you've heard of flight, fight, freeze. That's the order that we go. We're either fighting or flighting or running, or we're fighting. If we can't get out of the situation, we're fighting our way out or we freeze up. So we're always orienting towards safety. And so the idea was that if we find that spot of safety and you're with that attuned person, feeling safe with that attuned person, it actually accesses the part of your lower brain that's holding this self state. It actually opens up and allows that self state to be released.
So it's making that connection between the higher and lower brains that you were saying there's a barrier.
Yeah, there. You're actually surpassing the neocortex by using an eye position because eye position goes directly into your lower brain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming this is a very effective therapy for releasing both simple and complex traumas.
Yes.
How regarded is it? How accepted is it within the therapeutic community?
Yeah. So I was actually really curious about like how many people have been trained in it and how many people have been trained in somatic experiencing and EMDR and other body-based therapies. And so I just did a cursory kind of search about like the numbers of people. And in America, there are 550,000 therapists, you know, general therapists. And then about 50 to 60,000 of them are body-based therapists, but that's only about 10%, right? So the reason why that is, one of the reasons why that is because EMDR has been researched, clinical research, the most out of any trauma resolution therapy. And so that's the most widely used. More people are trained in EMDR than any other body-based therapies. But it's still, if you add everybody together, it's only 10%. And so the reason is because there isn't a lot of clinical gold standard research around somatic experiencing and brain spotting. Brain spotting is young. It's only since 2003. And it's very difficult to get funding for this type of research. If there were infinite resources to do that,
yeah.
There would be much more, you know, robust research around brain spotting. But one of the issues is this idea of evidence-based practice. And we want to have evidence-based practice because it's been tried and tested. And we know that it works. And one of the things is when something is emerging type of therapy, there isn't a lot of evidence. So we have to go on the other two legs of evidence-based practice. One of the legs is research. And that's a very important leg. The other two are the therapist's observations of what they're seeing in their clients when they're using the new type of therapy. And then the actual client's response. So if we take those two pieces of evidence with EMDR, somatic experiencing, brain spotting, we're seeing huge results with that. So unfortunately, we have to catch up with the research side of it. And so it's not as well regarded because of the lack of research about it. But unfortunately, even in our own school, I went to the researchers and said, hey, you know, you study anxiety. You know, what do you think about studying brain spotting? It's been very effective. I've been using it for, you know, 5 or 6 years and had amazing results. And the person actually said that there are so many bottles of shampoo on the shelf, we don't need another bottle of shampoo, meaning there are too many trauma therapies. We don't want to add to that. And I couldn't believe the response because of the results that I see with my clients. I mean, I have vets that come in with flashbacks and nightmares, night terrors, and they do one session of brain spotting and the night terror never returns. Like, that's the type of results you get.
You would think you would want to research that.
Absolutely.
If you're getting that kind of empirical evidence, you know, just like, this is my day-to-day experience.
Exactly.
Let's see if we replicate that in the lab.
Yeah. And that's really why I'm sitting here, because I am seeing these incredible results. I have, you know, hundreds of brain spotters that I've been in trainings with and things that have been seeing all these results. You know, why isn't there more research on it? Why isn't there more of a focus on these body-based therapies when they're so effective? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe just it's the number of resources and the people who are doing other types of therapies have kind of an in on the resources, I guess. I don't really know the answer to that. I wish I did. I'm not really a researcher per se. I'm more of a clinician. So that's not really my side of things, but I wish there were. I mean, if they would just do, you know, two huge research studies on brain spotting, I'm sure they would show the results are fantastic and it would be more widely accepted.
Well, I'm very glad you came in to tell us about it. It has been a great conversation, Josh. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Josh Delahan is an instructor of psychology and ethics at Waukesha County Technical College, as well as an adjunct professor for the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UWM. In his private practice, he's trained in EMDR, somatic experiencing, and brain spotting, among other modalities. There's more information at wuwm.com.